Acme Lithium, a company positioned near the epicenter of lithium production in the United States. Since 1966, Nevada's Clayton Valley has been the primary production source for lithium in all of North America. Acme Lithium holds two promising lithium projects in the Clayton Valley region. Acme Lithium, U.S. trading symbol ACLHF, and in Canada, ACME. Web address, acmelithium.com. That's acmelithium.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black to help us understand an alarming story these last days and hours. A Russian anti-satellite test that has turned into a threat to the ISS. Bob, 1,500 pieces of space junk. What happened and what is the risk going forward to the astronauts on ISS? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, it appeared earlier this week the Russians had done a anti-satellite test where they fired a missile off from Russia designed to hit an orbiting satellite. And they didn't initially confirm the fact, but the U.S. military did report the missile. A missile was launched, and shortly thereafter, a defunct Russian satellite was in many, many pieces. Initially, they said 1,500 pieces, John. I've seen a more recent report that says 15,000 objects. I think that 15,000 is probably wrong. The State Department appears to have said that, or maybe it's a typo. Let's say 1,500 pieces of space junk. And now this was in an orbit that appeared initially to be a threat to ISS, or at least the initial breakup of the pieces. Some pieces might have hit ISS. And so Monday of this week, Roscosmos ordered all the astronauts to get into their lifeboats, either the Dragon or the Soyuz capsules that are docked. And so they did that while a piece supposedly flew by, didn't hit. They might have moved the station slightly to avoid it. And that was the initial result. Now, Russia has only now, after a day or so, confirmed that, yes, they did an anti-satellite test. And they confirm that they did it, but they also say that this poses no threat to ISS. The station has moved away from that orbit and is now in what they call the green zone, and there's no danger to the station. So that's the basics. Now let's get down to the significance. Russia is a signatory to the Outer Space Treaty. That requires signatories to make sure that nothing they do in space threatens somebody else. And this test did not meet that criteria. They destroyed a satellite in an orbit that's high enough that the debris is not going to go away for a very long time. Two, when you destroy something, the debris is going to fly in uncontrolled manners. You don't know what orbits they're going to be in. And three, apparently, at least initially, it was a direct threat to ISS that was a concern. And so they have broken the Outer Space Treaty here. They have also broken the Outer Space Treaty in another context, John. There have been, since 07 now, four similar missile anti-satellite tests like this. China did it in 07, the U.S. in 08, and then India did it in 19. And with the Chinese, it was very similar. They picked a satellite that had a high orbit, and so its pieces are a problem. And in fact, what is it, a week and a half ago, there was a piece of that's anti-satellite test from China that threatened ISS, and they had to move the station slightly to make sure it wouldn't hit. But the U.S. test, the U.S. military, when it destroyed by missile a satellite, it picked a defunct satellite that was in a very low orbit that was going to decay soon anyway. And so the pieces produced by that impact were all very low orbits that very quickly burned up in the atmosphere. In addition, while they were in orbit, they weren't threatening anything orbiting because the orbit was so low. So it's very easy here to pick a satellite. There are such satellites that would not be a threat in the long run or even initially, and the Russians did not do that. India picked the higher satellite, so initially it posed a problem and they were criticized for it. But it was low enough that those pieces have mostly dissipated and not been an issue. But nonetheless, now, so what this tells us is that Russia's actions here is a belligerent act. There was no reason to do as they did. And It raises many, many questions internationally, John, having to do with Russia's buildup against the Ukraine. It raises questions about maybe Putin government's decided ISS is a long-term failure with the destruction, with the slow decay of the Zvezda module, and so they don't really care anymore if they destroy the station. Who knows? Either way, this is a belligerent act. It's a violation of the Outer Space Treaty, and it just indicates once again that both Russia and China cannot be trusted to honor the treaties they saw.
Zvezda, the oldest module on ISS, the Russian Zvezda. Heretofore, my understanding was that it was no longer going to be used because of the continuing series of cracks. What have they discovered?
Well, let me be clear on exactly what's been going on. Zvezda, it's the second oldest module, but it's over 20 years old. They had been discovering cracks and air leaks in its aft section where the port is, where they do dockings, or had been doing dockings. And we're talking about more than 100 dockings over the life of the station. They said for a period of, for about 6 months or so, they found air leaks in the aft section. They appeared to be cracks, which suggested stress fractures. And so to protect the module and maybe not encourage more cracks, they stopped all dockings to that docking port for a period of about 6-8 months. But they have done an additional docking to it since, John. And this past week, a Russian astronaut told Mission Control that he thinks he's located another crack in the Zvezda module. What's most interesting about this is it is not in the aft section where the docking port is. It's in the intermediate chamber of the module, which is basically the middle part of the state of the module. It's the main body of the module. They repaired the previously discovered leaks in the aft module and had reduced the leakage on the station by about 2/3. Still very low leakages. The leakages are not a threat. It's the condition of the module itself that's the threat. But this leak might be the additional where the leakage is coming from. And so, yes, they can repair it and maybe stop all leaks, but it raises more concerns about the long-term viability of Zvezda. Because if you're now getting stress fracture leaks in the main part of the module, then you maybe could get them anywhere. And this is a lifespan.
Bob, remind us, what is the Russian opinion of ISS? Are they in it till 24? Have they extended beyond 24?
Right now, they are in it till 24, and they've had talks about extending it a little longer. But they basically are saying in the long run they're going to be getting out. They want to build their own station. They could detach their modules and attach it to their station, though I don't think they will because of the age. They have money problems, so having the, and management problems in their space program. So there's questions whether they can build their own station. But nonetheless, they've talked about getting out. That makes me wonder once again some of the motives in the Putin administration for this anti-satellite test. Maybe they don't care so much what happens to ISS at this point. It's hard to say, John.
Who was Glenn DeVries?
All right. Glenn DeVries was one of the suborbital passengers on the Blue Origin suborbital flight of New Shepard that William Shatner flew on last month. They went up, they came down, it was a very short flight. He was a wealthy CEO, he probably paid a significant amount of money to be a passenger on that flight. He even could have been, though no one ever said so, he could have been the one that paid in the original auction $28 million to do this flight. Well, tragically, less than a few weeks after that flight, Glenn DeVries was one of two people who died in a small airplane crash outside of New Jersey this week. It was a single-engine plane. It crashed in a forested area in Sussex County of New Jersey. The pilot, a guy by the name of Thomas Fisher, also passed away. Both Fisher and DeVries apparently knew each other because Fisher was a flight instructor at the local airport there where DeVries himself had learned to fly. So they probably knew each other and were flying together, as friends even. Right. But unfortunately, the plane went down. It's very sad.
Richard Branson. Virgin Galactic, Virgin Orbital. What's the difference, and what does it mean that he's selling Virgin Galactic stock?
Virgin Orbit is the Branson company that puts satellites, small sats, into orbit. It's been actually successful. It's done it twice, and it has another launch later this year, and it's made contracts, and it's making money. Virgin Galactic is the suborbital tourist company, supposedly going to put up, you know, tourists for short. Virgin Galactic suborbital space flights. And they've done one flight, but they've delayed their next flight till late next year, it appears. Richard Branson, over the last 2 years, has sold more than $1 billion worth of his stock in Virgin Galactic. When he went public with the company, he set it up so he'd be a majority owner with 51%. Sold the rest to a SPAC, a special purpose acquisition company, which finances, and they became a public corporation. He has now sold an additional $300 million out of which comprises that billion in the last weeks or so. And he did it. In doing so, he's now reduced his holdings in the company to only 11.9%. He might be the largest stockholder, maybe, maybe not, but he's definitely no longer a very important stockholder in Virgin Galactic. And he's made $1 billion in selling it off in the last year and a half. Him selling, he's needed, one of the reasons he's probably been doing this is because the Wuhan flu panic has done great harm to his airline companies and his other companies. So he's needed cash to prop them up. And that's one of the reasons
puzzle that comes to me as I see this is that very well-to-do people such as Richard Branson borrow against their assets from banks who are happy to be partners with them. And it is a puzzle. You don't liquidate an asset. You try to borrow against it for another day. And the fact that these are outright sales is a puzzle. You've long said, Bob, Virgin Orbital is the one that's worth a great deal of money, not Virgin Galactic.
Yeah, and this is a sign. It's indicating that either Richard Branson doesn't have a great deal of long-term faith in Virgin Galactic as a sole borderless tourist company, or the banks are telling him right. They don't have much faith in it. And so for you, those who are interested in buying stock, be aware that that's where Virgin Galactic stock sits right now.
And the Virgin Orbital is worth a deal of money, but you can't buy stock in it. All right, South Korea. They want a reusable rocket. Is the voting finally in, Bob? Reusable rockets are the new?
Oh, there's no question of that. It's been that way now for about 4 or 5 years since SpaceX started to make inroads. Remember, SpaceX has basically stolen market share from almost everybody because it's cheap. Rockets are so cheap to launch. Well, South Korea has been investing a great deal of money by its government in the development of rockets and satellites and space probes. They attempted their first home-built rocket launch about a month ago. It didn't succeed, but they've got a second launch scheduled in May. Well, one of their lawmakers announced this week that he wants them to plan the design and construction of a reusable rocket. So he's pushing for this. I don't know. Their present budget proposals did not include this. So this was a surprise. But it does appear that this one lawmaker at least wants to push for their government to finance and help their space industry develop a reusable rocket similar to SpaceX. And that just indicates once again that South Korea wants in on this whole business, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. When we come back, we're going to Mars. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Beck.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.